Hey guys, this is Magtite from eSeduce.com, and today I'm doing an interview with Sin, who now goes by the name of Johnson. And if you don't know who he is, he's probably one of the most popular pickup artists out there right now. And he's not like one of these marketer guys that just pops up and puts out some material whenever he's got a product coming out. He's constantly doing podcasts, he's doing like posts on his blog. He's doing interviews like this one. He's constantly putting out tons of material and it's quality stuff. So without any ado, how's it going, Sin?
It's good, man. It's good. I'm glad to be on more interviews, get more information out there.
Cool, man. I think most of the people who are listening to this are probably familiar with you, but just in case if there's some that aren't, can you kind of like give like a little over like introduction about yourself and like your journey?
Sure. The big thing is just kind of I was not always good with girls. In fact, for most of my life, I wasn't good with girls. Basically, I was like any other guy who finds the seduction community off the internet, except I found it about 6 years ago. So pre the game, pre a lot of the stuff that guys may have come up to this in. So I kind of came through the old boot camp system with Mystery, and then taught with Mystery Method for about 3 years before I kind of broke away to do my own thing because I wanted to do more long-term stuff. I think I'm probably best known for kind of innovating stuff in the community. Like, I taught the first day game course, I taught the first strippers course, I taught the first same night lays and breakthrough comfort, which is basically backwards engineered love. So I'm always trying to come up with new stuff, which kind of just goes with my own life. As my own life goes, I kind of work on new things, and then when they work, they turn into kind of information for you guys, and when they don't, they don't go anywhere. That's kind of where I'm at. For the last year, I've been running a long-term coaching program, which actually I think to this part is the first program that actually had like a 90% success rate for guys actually getting laid and actually having results with women. And that was 12 months to mastery, which ran last year, and we just restarted that. So that's a big part of what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis now is just working with the 25 new guys. As well as doing my blog at sinsofattraction.blogspot.com, which I think is pretty much the best blog on the internet for seduction stuff in terms of just content and the stuff we give away on there.
Cool, man. Yeah, so like your 12 months of mastery, like typically if a guy takes a boot camp, it's like over the course of a weekend, and that's kind of a short amount of time for them to get over some stuff, especially if they have like social anxiety and a lot of
Yeah, I
issues
mean,
with
I
that.
think that was my big thing from working at Love Systems slash Mystery Method slash whatever you want to call it, was that there's a workshop high, right? Guys come on a workshop, and we show them in the back, and we tell them to approach, and they have someone to talk to when their approaches go bad. And there's a couple of things that kind of skew the amount of approaches a guy is going to do. There's also a lot of social pressure. He's invested because he spent money. So most guys, almost, 100% of guys are going to do some approaches on boot camps. But the big thing is there's no weekend. I don't care who you are, myself, any of the teachers in the community. I don't care how great a teacher you are. I don't care how great a motivated guy is. A weekend is not going to make a guy good with women. So what would happen was I'd run into these guys, 6 months later, out at clubs, or I'd get emails from them, and they would be kind of struggling, or they'd get into a relationship with a girl that they weren't that attracted to because they were just really happy to be getting laid again, and then they'd lose it, and they'd be back out in the place where they started, which was really frustrating to me because I spent a good 3 years of my life every weekend, like trying to train guys and help them to get better at this. So when it wasn't working, very frustrating to me, and I realized that the guys who were getting good were a lot of the guys that I was hanging out with a lot, working with a lot, talking to on the phone. And so I kind of, about a year into Mystery Method, started kind of thinking about what it would take to make a guy good over the course of a year or a longer time period, because it was just obvious that the boot camps, while they're better than nothing, they don't really lead to long-term success. I'd say about 95% of guys who take boot camps don't actually get better with girls long-term. So that was kind of the impetus behind me wanting to do 12 months to mastery, was I knew that if you learn, like, 'cause there were certain things that I learned the wrong way, You know, like I've had like some pretty, I've talked about my kind of bouts of depression and suicide attempts while getting laid a lot and being an instructor for a major company. And I think just kind of over the last year or so with running 12 months to mastery, my understanding of a lot of that stuff has increased even more just because I've seen like that every guy is going to go through certain phases. There are certain major sticking points. There's about 5 or 6 of them that every guy is going to go through. They're just kind of courses of learning and how it works. And now I think I have a really, really good understanding of how, of what the fundamental difference is between the guys who get good with a year and the guys who don't. And basically what kind of scheduling and learning process leads to the best results and the least kind of mental consequences, which definitely are out there.
Cool, man. Yeah, okay. Now, when I was interacting with Sin about doing this interview, you know, first thing I asked him, is there any questions that you want me to ask you? And what he said is, hey, you know, whatever your readers want, any questions they have, I want to answer them. So what I did was I sent a message out to my newsletter subscribers and asked them if they had any questions for Sin. And I'm just going to go through some of these questions. And a lot of these guys, I get the kind of the impression that they're kind of confused because there's a lot of contradictory like techniques and methods out there right now. There's instructors that are teaching like indirect game. There's ones that are, you know, teaching direct game. You got natural game. You got routine.
Yeah.
Game. I mean, what do you teach, and why do you think what you teach is the best for the people listening right now to use?
Sure. What I teach is kind of a combination of routine-based game and natural game. Basically, I believe that the starting point for anyone is going to be basic conversation skills and social skills. So I focus a lot on the fundamental skills of what we call social comfort, which is kind of how to not weird people out and keep conversations going for, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. Then I think that having kind of an understanding of the structure of what happens between meet and sex is really important. Like most guys, if they were to take a piece of paper and write down on the top line of the paper, I meet a girl and the bottom line is, and then we have sex, they don't really know how to fill that in. They're not really sure what's supposed to happen conversationally, what's supposed to happen movement-wise, what's supposed to happen emotionally, physically, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's really important for guys. And then I think there are parts where routines can help you. I think having an opener is a really good idea rather than trying to think of something smart or cool to say on the fly. I think it's a really good idea to have an excuse to isolate a girl because you know you need to isolate a girl and trying to figure out one on the fly is not a good idea. I think you should have a way to set up a date and a way to get a girl's phone number. Because that's a situation that comes up a lot. I think you should have a way to pull girls back to your house. I think you should have a couple other things, but ultimately I think you want to kind of learn the underlying mechanisms of how to interact and express your personality in a way that's a little more natural, but still have those kind of guiding principles so that when you get stuck or you go down a road that isn't helpful, you know what to do. So I think I'm not dogmatic. That's a big thing with what I teach is I don't believe there's any one method that guys have to use to get laid. I think the different guys are going to have different advantages and disadvantages, and everyone's going to kind of need a customized game plan for them. And the thing is, when you're not working with a coach, you know, one-on-one, then you need to figure out a way to take your strengths, the things that you recognize are good about you socially, and harness those and kind of minimize the weaknesses. So that's kind of my philosophy on game. I think the ultimate goal is really to not have to be trying to do a whole lot and to develop a lifestyle as well. I always talk about inner psychology, lifestyle, and skill set being kind of the components of what game is. And I think you kind of have to look at all three of those in an equal amount of time and consideration, because I think if you ignore the inner psychology stuff, then it's hard to have long-term success and happiness with what you're doing. You're going to always kind of be looking for more, whereas if you don't have the lifestyle, then you're going to be working too hard, and you're going to be spending an obsessive amount of time on your game. And if you don't have the skill set, then you won't be able to capitalize as much as you would otherwise. So I think it all kind of works together. I don't adhere to one specific way to do anything, and I think there's a lot of good ways to do things, but I do believe in everything being extremely well-tested and well-documented. and working over and over for different sets of guys. I think a lot of the material out there is really biased based on the guru who came up with its natural advantages or disadvantages.
Cool, man. Yeah, so it sounds like you kind of take the best from every different type and method and kind of make a customized game plan for the person based on their best traits. So that sounds cool, man. Yeah, another question is kind of similar to that. Basically, there's a guy who's a college student, and it seems like, you know, you get your traditional, like, pickup methods and technologies, and then you get these new guys who are coming out with these college products, and, you know, they're trying to say, hey, that the regular pickup material, that doesn't work in college. College is different.
That's bullshit. I mean, really? I still take girls on college campuses. Like, I take community college classes every year. I take, you know, like, 3 to 6 credits just so I can go to a community college and pick up girls. It's easy to pick up girls because you're in college, you're in one of those situations that naturally lends itself to socializing, even on a community college campus, but especially on an actual campus with dorms and students that are staying on campus. So, I mean, I think, yeah, all that social circle stuff is great. You know, it's definitely good to get invited to parties, and that's going to really be good, but the walking around college campuses, as long as you can find girls who are just seated by themselves, you can just start conversations. I mean, I don't ever recommend going situational, but you can basically just go situational, you know? Like, you can just sit down and be like, oh, my God, you know, if I have to read one more art philosophy paper, I think my head's going to explode. Or, you know, ask them what they're studying, and you'll find they're really receptive because they're bored, you know? They're sitting around waiting between classes. They'd love to talk to someone. So, yeah, I don't really know. I honestly believe that's just marketing from guys who, you know, found a niche where it's like, oh, there's college guys who want to get good at pickup. That other stuff doesn't work. I still use opinion openers on college campuses. You know, I'll have, like, a fake cell phone conversation and then run an opinion opener. It works fine. I've never had any problems with it. I'm a 25-year-old guy who's, you know, walking around college campuses. So I'm not having problems with it. Like, I don't think you're going to have problems with it if you're, like, an 18, 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that 100%. I see a lot of these guys who are teaching college game. They're all about, like, to go up and use an opinion opener, like a cold approach a girl is really weird in college. And, you know, I think it just seems like a lot of marketing, just like you said. So.
Yeah, it's not weird at all. You just, you pretend like you're having a cell phone call. You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe his girlfriend did that. And then you, like, you try to say it loud enough that the girl kind of looks over, and then you can be like, oh, my God, you're eavesdropping. Like, give me an opinion on this and run your opinion opener. It's not weird at all. It's not like you're just walking. It would be kind of weird if the girl's sitting there by herself and you just walk straight up to her and you're like, hey, I need an opinion on something. But if you set it up by either talking to a friend that you're with or pretending to talk on a cell phone, it's really not weird at all.
Yeah, that sounds, you know, what would be weird in that situation would be weird anyplace else, too. I mean, I don't see anything unique about college campuses.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's single girls sitting by themselves. Like, it's the same as a girl at a coffee shop or a bookstore.
Cool, man. Okay. Next question here is kind of like, there's a guy, he emails me back once in a while, and he's like in his mid-40s, and he's about 5'7". And, you know, he claims that he makes, like, hundreds of approaches of women, and he thinks his inner game is fine. But no matter what he does, he always gets...
Oh, is this the guy who always says that, like, you have to be good-looking or young to get and rich to get hot girls, and that, like, he can approach and get sixes and sevens fine, but the really hot girls he only sees are, like, good-looking young guys?
It sounds like it's going down that path, yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's some guy out there who, like, consistently says stuff like this. Like, I mean, okay, so here's my thing with looks and money. Right, it's wrong to say that you have to have looks and money to get hot girls, but it's also wrong to say that they don't matter at all. Is it true that being better looking will help you with girls? Absolutely. Like, the better looking you are, I know a lot of guys who are professional pickup artists who are really good looking guys, and they have, you know, okay game, and they get way better results than guys who, you know, are less good looking but maybe have better traditional game. Mm-hmm. So looks are definitely an advantage, but at the same time, you don't need to have looks. And most of the guys you see with really hot girls, I would say, are not conventionally good looking. They generally have their look together, which means, like, they have, like, an identifiable kind of stereotype that they fit into. You know, you look at them and say, okay, that guy's like a rocker guy, or that guy's like a, you know, hip-hop guy, or that guy's like a rich guy in a suit, like a sugar daddy guy. but they're not generally, like, classically what I would call good-looking guys most of the time with hot girls. And the height thing is just ridiculous. I mean, I know so many guys who are shorter than the girls they date. I mean, a lot of the time I'm shorter than girls I date. Uh-huh. It's not, like, the height thing really doesn't matter. But again, is height an advantage? Of course it is. Like, a guy who's 6'5" has to have less game, but it doesn't mean that you can't still get the same girl. That's kind of what I have to say about all that stuff. Same thing with money. Like, you don't have to be rich to get hot girls, but it definitely helps you to get hot girls. Like, you can get hot girls simply by being rich. It's not a necessary thing, but you can definitely leverage that to get girls. So it's one of those things where both the extremes are wrong. Money, looks, height, those are all advantages, but they're not necessarily things that trigger attraction. They're just kind of manifestations of greater things that trigger attraction, which can be done without those advantages.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, me personally, I'm like 33 now. I'm 6'4", and I always, like, was really self-conscious about being 6'4". I thought I was this tall, lanky, you know, gawky, lurchy, like Lurch or something, you know. And, you know, it's now that I'm older, you know, I'm more secure about my height, and now that I'm even older, I'm more successful with women than when I was in my 20s because I'm better socially. So yeah. I don't really agree with this. It just seems
And the age thing is really wrong because as someone who's underage, it's much harder to be younger than girls and date them than it is to be older. Uh-huh. Like, a good 10 to 15 year gap is totally acceptable. I know every girl I know who's like between 20 and 25 has dated a guy who's like 10 to 15 years older than them in the last year. Mm-hmm. It's really not an uncommon thing at all. In fact, if you look at what they say about personalities, girls generally mature like 10 years faster than guys. So it's about right.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, so I mean, like, what would be your, like, this guy here, it's just, you think his issue would be something like, would be inner game, or is he just falling back on excuses? Is there some kind of under, like, my opinion, when some girl says, hey, you're too old for me, or you're too short for me, that might not necessarily be the case. It's just like an easy let off on her part. Maybe there might be some other issue.
Or it might be the case for that particular girl. You know, like, the thing is, are there going to be particular girls who are going to think you're too short, too poor, too ugly? Yeah, of course there are. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, on a grander scale, it's not going to be a big enough factor. Like, those things happen, like, maybe, I would say, like, because I've run a lot of boot camps with guys who are older, you know, the oldest student I ever worked with, I think, was, like, 57. You really don't get the hard, you're too old, you know, you're too short, that kind of stuff too often in real life. It's kind of something that maybe happens once or twice to a guy, and they get traumatized by it really early on. And again, like you said, it could have been a myriad of other things. I mean, with a guy who's self-diagnosed, I mean, he probably has terrible body language, he probably doesn't project his voice well, he probably doesn't make great eye contact, he probably stalls in the conversation and doesn't have very good conversational repertoire. You know, I mean, there's a million things that he could be doing wrong. But it's kind of impossible to diagnose when the guy just says, oh, I'm doing everything right. Tell me why it's not working.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree 100%. Yeah, it's just...
So, my guess is, like, look, every guy thinks they're better with girls than they actually are. You'll even get guys who are virgins who will want to tell you about the time they did this cool thing with a girl and it totally worked, which, by definition, it couldn't have totally worked because you've never had sex. So, I mean, I think a big issue that guys have with this is just kind of the ego management that it takes to get good at pickup is, like, you have to just kind of accept that you don't know anything about this stuff and that you're always going to kind of be a student. Like, I mean, it annoys my friends, but I always bitch about my game. Like, I'm always like, oh, my game sucks. I have so many sticking points, like, this, that, or the other. Because, to me, I think when you start feeling like you know what you're doing or you know exactly what's going on, that's when you start to get lazy and you start to make mistakes. And that's kind of what a lot of new guys do and what a lot of guys who haven't actually been out with someone who knows what they're doing do, because they read about it online and intellectually they understand the idea, right? They've never actually done it, but they've read the idea and then their mind fills in the blanks, right? So it might be like my favorite example of this is like it's like nagging and teasing girls, right? In a guy's mind, you know, you go out to the bar and you tell a girl you're not going to get along, or that you she has fake nails, and all of a sudden she like drops down on her knees and starts sucking your dick. And you know, like, that's just not the way it works. So these guys have these misunderstandings. Then they get out in the field and they do it, and nothing happens. And they're like, oh, fuck this. None of this stuff works. Like, this is all bullshit. Like, I'm doing everything right. It must just be that you need money and looks and all these things that I don't have. And these gurus are just trying to screw me for their money. When really, I mean, it's kind of naive at this point to believe that any sort of lying, tactic, gimmick, intellectual understanding is going to make you better at going out and picking up girls, right? I mean, I think anyone rational understands that it's a long-term process about kind of changing the way you communicate overall so that you communicate yourself to be a more attractive person, and ultimately kind of becoming a more attractive, interesting person, so that it's not so much of a struggle.
Cool, man. I think that's a good answer all around. Next question here, I mean, this is like a big question. I see this all the time. This guy here wants to know how he can get his ex-girlfriend back. You know, he claims that he's in a small town. There's, you know, he knows he should be looking elsewhere and trying to find a new woman, but he lives in a small town. There's everybody's married. Everybody has a family. So and I guess his ex-girlfriend won't pay any attention to him. So do you have any advice for him?
Not really, because I've never tried to get back an ex-girlfriend. Like, I've had girls come back and, like, accept, like, lower levels of commitment, you know, a couple months later. Mm-hmm. I've never really had that urge to get back with an ex-girlfriend, so I don't really have any experience in it. When I've ended things with girls and then wanted to get back with them, I've kind of just opened the channels of communication again. But again, it wasn't, you know, anything as serious, so I would say, you know, you broke up for a reason. Like, I think one of the big myths in kind of modern dating in general is the idea that, like, if you had a relationship that didn't work, but then you've, like, been out there and you've seen that there's other stuff that's not as good, that it's going to be perfect when you go back. Like, the tendency once you're out of a relationship is to kind of remember the things that you liked about that person and forget all the things that you really didn't like and the reasons you broke up. So it's probably not a good idea to go back. You know, and if you live in a small enough town, there's only one girl.
Yeah.
You might want to leave.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe something to work on.
Yeah, you know, it just seems like when I read that question, it just seems like he knows that he should move on, and he's making up excuses why he shouldn't move on. And
yeah, I mean, I guess tactically, probably something like breakthrough comfort, like doing some sort of golden mirror type tactic where you know, see the girl the way she wants to be seen, and give her like compliments about her idealized self would be tactically the right thing to do, but I mean, I don't have the experience to really recommend that, because I just haven't done it myself, and I don't like to recommend things that I haven't done myself.
That's a good practice, yeah.
Yeah.
The next question, I tell you what, this one's not any better. This one's very niche. Basically, there's this guy. He's claiming women of different like nationalities are different to pick up, and basically, he's claiming that girls who are Indian, from India, are very much different. They're very reserved. He wants to know how you can break through that with Indian women.
Okay, so this is an interesting question, actually, because okay. I do think that different cultures act differently, but it's not a matter of descent. It's a matter of kind of culture. Like, a girl who's from India originally but moved here will act differently than a woman of Indian descent who grew up in New York. So I do agree that there is a cultural difference, but the cultural differences come from people who lived in countries other than the United States, not from a specific ethnic background, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, like, the idea that all Asian girls are reserved and low-key is wrong. Asian girls from Asian countries who lived here or who grew up in traditionally Asian families do tend to be more reserved and low energy. Same thing with Indian girls. Black girls are a little bit different. There are definitely a couple of key ethnic distinctions. I would say the thing is, though, you're gonna kind of see that in all sorts of spectrums. Like, there are girls who are more reserved and more sexually shy. And a lot of the time it doesn't have to do with anything of ethnicity.
If you're getting a lot of signals that the girl's shy, either you've done something wrong by being a little too aggressive, that you've put her into that mode where she feels like she needs to kind of make you chase more and needs to hold out a little bit more. Or you might just be dealing with a girl who's less experienced, especially if they're younger. I find that girls who are between, like, 18 and 22, like, you're always going to get a lot more last minute resistance because they just haven't been in those situations as many times, except for, like, super party girl chicks who have, you know, been having one night stands since they were 14. But those are a different kind of girl in general. Your run-of-the-mill 18-year-old is going to be a lot less comfortable getting naked with a new guy than a 28-year-old is. As far as the whole Indian thing, I definitely do think that Indian girls from India are kind of reserved. And again, it also matters who they hang out with. Like, if there's a big group of mostly Asian girls, I would say most of the time they're going to be a lot more reserved. Whereas if it's one Asian girl with a couple of white girls or Hispanic girls or other ethnicities, they tend to kind of act like normal girls. So a lot of it's peer group as well, because in different peer groups, girls are going to act in different ways. Different parts of their personality are going to come out depending on kind of what their group's expectations, ideas, and social hierarchies are, which is kind of an interesting subject in and of itself.
Next question here is basically like, okay, I'd like to know how to handle a girl who knows you are involved in pickup. She still seems like she's attracted to me, but she seems like she's weary and protective.
Don't ever talk about pickup. Like, I'm an instructor, and I don't even tell girls about pickup until, like, a month or two into seeing them, and then I phrase it like it's this little, like, part-time job that I have. Pickup is one of the worst things to talk about in a relationship because it turns off one of the fundamental things that women need in order to have a relationship with you, which is trust, right? Because the funny thing is, like, they always assume we're a lot better than we are. Like, I never claim that I get every girl or, you know, can do this better than the other, but, you know, girls who find this stuff, they're like, oh, you're a pickup artist, you can just have sex with any girl you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that would be awesome if I could. unfortunately, that's not necessarily how it works. So I would say the lesson here is don't ever talk about pickup if you're not involved in it in a business sense for it. I mean, guys always make this mistake, and they always think they're better. Like, it's funny how we get really arrogant about this. You know, everyone's like, oh, it won't happen to me. Like, I have really good comfort, or, you know, it won't happen to me. Like, you know, this girl's, like, normal. Every girl, because they can't trust you anymore. Because every time you do anything from then on, once they know you, like, study this stuff, they're going to be, the little voice in the back of their head is going to be going, wait, is this a tactic or is this what he really feels? And so it just turns off that emotional integrity that you kind of need for any successful relationship, you know?
Yeah,
because
definitely.
If one person thinks the other person's manipulating, then now we have an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, I totally agree with that 100%. I remember when I started getting back into this in, like, 2006, I went out with a guy that I met on one of these, I don't know what it was, fast seduction or whatever. And I went out with him, and his big thing was, I mean, within, like, if he met a new guy, you know, within 5 minutes, he'd tell the guy that he studies pickup, like he's some kind of, you know, this sounds so presumptive, you know, so arrogant.
Well, I mean, part of it comes from the fact that a lot of the guys who get into this, they kind of feel like losers, right?
Yeah.
So they get some intellectual understanding. Like, they read some scientific books like The Selfish Gene and stuff, and all of a sudden they become the evolutionary asshole, as I like to call them, where they're like, you know, monogamy, you know, isn't normal. We're the only species that's monogamous, man. Like, it makes no sense. We're supposed to spread our seed. You know, we're men, they're women. It's natural. It's evolution, man. Like, and like, they make it like this whole big thing that it just doesn't need to be. And then they feel better than other guys. You know, I feel like the biggest problem in the community is the idea of, like, the AFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, I don't want to be an AFC. AFC is, like, get laid. If you go out on dates with girls, like, you get laid. Like, I love it when we're on boot camps. We used to go to dinner on boot camps. And we'd be at dinner, and guys would be like, oh, look at these AFCs at dinner with their girlfriends. And I'm like, yeah, and look at us in the big group of dudes at a pickup summit. Like, which one of us has a better chance of getting laid here? The guy who's with 12 other dudes learning about pickup, or the dude who's with his girlfriend? Because I just think, like, you learn this stuff, and you feel, like, intellectually superior. You're like, oh my god, I'm so cool now, I know all this stuff about pickup. But really, nobody gives a fuck. The only person who cares about your success with women is you. Like, nobody really cares. In the real world, it doesn't make you that cool. You'll meet a lot of really successful people who just don't give a fuck about getting laid. Like, maybe they have a girlfriend, maybe they just don't get laid that much, and they just kind of, they're not that focused on it. They're doing other things. I like to talk about, like, the obsession, you know, like, the obsession with pickup, like, the obsession with girls and the over-importance girls play on people who join the construction community, myself included. I think I live a very unbalanced life towards girls and spending time with them and chasing them. But you have to realize that, like, most normal people, like, when you meet a normal dude, like, he's probably, if you presented him with the choice of, like, oh, do you want to get laid? He'd probably, like, say 51%, yeah, I want to get laid. Given the choice, it's better to get laid more with hotter girls than not. But I don't really want to put that much work into it. But the guys in the construction community, it's like 75%, right? They're like, yes, not only will I work twice as hard as every other guy to get laid, but I will change everything about my life and dedicate everything and do this, that, or the other. And it's just not healthy. So I think that's pickup is going to, like, change the world. Like, Neil Strauss back in the day was like, the idea that's going to change the world. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, it's not like people haven't heard about this, you know, people have been hearing about it since RJ was in Playboy years and years and years ago. It's just the mainstream society as a whole just doesn't care that much. We've had two seasons of the VH1 show, we've had countless articles and books. Mainstream society just doesn't give a fuck. They're just kind of like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's just like a little, I don't know, kind of a joke to them, or I don't know, you know, they don't really take it seriously, but Yeah,
it's just kind of like, people are like, it's kind of like a freak show. Like, I don't think Mystery understood, it stands that people were laughing at him, not with him, during the VH1 show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he gets that. Like, I don't think he understands that, like, when people had him interviewed to, like, talk about celebrity romances, like, they were making fun of him. I think he still thinks that everyone thinks it's cool, and it's not a cool thing. Like, it's not cool that we had to, like, learn how to get better with girls. But it is a useful thing. There's a lot of useful information that you can use to transform your sexual and dating life into something that really makes you happy. I think that's kind of what gets missed sometimes when people go anti-community. And I'm more than anyone, I'm sure, I can be accused of being anti-community. I go on my rants all the time about how much I think certain things in the community are stupid. There's still a lot of good information that if you learn it, you can really have a much better dating life.
Yeah, you know, if any niche or any field, you know, there's some things that are complete bullshit and, you know, just marketing and just strange, you know, completely weird overall. But, you know, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in it too. I think you do a good job of pointing out the good stuff to people. So the next guy here, basically, he's he went on a dinner date with a girl, and basically they're both in nursing school together. And basically the girl kind of at the end of the date made the excuse that she's too busy to be seriously dating somebody. So this guy kind of found, like, he got the impression that that was just a bunch of bullshit. Basically he wants to know what's his best maneuver and seduction technique to get past this block.
I mean, it sounds like she doesn't like you. That's kind of, I mean, I would say you've kind of already probably gone past the point. Like, if you have a past first date where a girl makes an excuse to get away early, you're probably not going to get a second date. Now, again, I'm not one of those guys who says everything a girl says is a test or a tactic or anything like that, because I don't think girls do that. I think a lot of times girls just go with what they feel, and when they're not feeling a date, their natural inclination is to get away from it as quickly as possible because they don't like being uncomfortable. So, I mean, to me, if a girl broke a date early, the tactic is you kind of have to ignore it and act like nothing's happening with something like that. I mean, I went on a first date. There's a girl I'm seeing now where we went on the first date. We hooked up. We didn't have sex, but we did other stuff. And then I called her the wrong name, and then she left in, like, an angry huff. So with something like that where you obviously did something wrong, you can apologize. For this, I wouldn't apologize because you don't want to just even draw attention to it. So I just kind of follow up with a text message or a call like normal, act like nothing happened, and invite her to hang out again. But, I mean, my guess is if you do that, you're probably going to get her telling you that she's just not interested, because it just seems like and she mentioned she was seeing someone else. I mean, I would say at that point she's really trying to shut the door on you. So, I mean, you can ignore it, keep trying one more time, but you may be forcing her to make a big kind of rejection of you. That'd be what I would say.
Yeah, it sounds like the damage is already done at this point, so I mean, it's best to
it's
keep
like a lot
moving
of the
on.
time, like there are fatal mistakes and there are non-fatal mistakes. I always think about, like a fatal mistake is like one time I got this girl's number and then my phone accidentally called her while I was talking to my friends about how I was going to bang her. Like that was a fatal mistake, right? Like she overheard the conversation of me talking about how I was going to bang this chick, and that didn't work out so well for me. But those things, I think, they're not that bad. Like an awkward silence is not that bad. This one though seems like kind of a fatal mistake. It seems like it might be the end. When they bring up the "I'm sort of seeing someone," and they haven't brought it up before, basically what's going on in her mind is she's not necessarily happy with the other guy she's seeing, like she wouldn't be, going out on the date. So she's kind of giving you the chance to be better. And then, if she brings it up, it's like her fail-safe excuse, right? Girls are very often trading up when it comes to guys. I like to say that people in general are only really as faithful as their options and the consequences. And for girls, if they're in a relationship, they're not in a serious relationship, but they're dating around. They're still kind of on the market, so they're giving everyone a chance. And, had he done a good job and created a situation where things went well, this other guy probably would have eventually disappeared, and it wouldn't have happened. But in this case, of the two guys, it sounds like she's having more fun with the other one.
The next one here, basically this guy, he's going out. He's hanging around with some girls he's got class with. And he brings his buddy along, too. So it's two guys and this one girl that the guy's interested in. So
that's always a bad idea. You never want to bring a friend, especially in high school.
Yeah. And then here's what happened. Basically, the other guy had better game than the main guy, and the other guy basically
he stole the girl.
Yeah, he pretty much the girl start facing the other guy and quit paying attention to the main guy. And he's like, "Well, okay, should I accept this as a challenge, or should I yell at my friend for being a cock blocker? I mean, and how do I deal with this girl after this happened?"
I mean, it depends on, this situation really depends on how clear he was up front that, he was interested in this girl. Like, if it was just kind of like, "Hey, you want to come hang out? I'm going to go hang out with this girl," and there wasn't a specification of, like, "Hey, I'm trying to have sex with this girl. You want to come hang out and make me look cool?" Which would be the only reason that you would bring your friend, right? I mean, bringing a friend on a date is not a good idea. Like I said, it's kind of like high school. Like, you're too nervous to hang out alone. In fact, one of the girls I'm seeing, she was just, she was hanging out with her female friend and this guy that she was dating, and he brought his friend, and they kept the girl I'm seeing up till, 5 in the morning, because they were, hanging out and wouldn't go home because he'd brought some friend. So my girl's friend had to bring in her as a friend. It's an awkward situation when there's two. It's like a chaperone. Like, it's bad if the girl brings a friend on a date, too. Dates should always be one-on-one. As for, what he should do with the guy, I mean, like I said, if it was specified and he kind of, just ended up having better game, then you could talk to him about it and tell him that that's not cool. But if it wasn't specified, which it kind of sounds like it wasn't necessarily specified here, then you can't really get mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, too, man. I might sneak in one of my own personal questions here now.
Sure.
Yeah, like a lot of the the opinion openers and in the seduction community, a lot of them use 80s pop cultural references,
Right.
Yeah, and then I've even heard you, which is really interesting because you're probably born I'm trying to do the math, you're probably born in the mid 80s. Yeah, I heard you one time I heard you say something about you made some reference when you're talking to a girl about watching so much 80s porn. I'm like, that's kind of weird. I like using pop cultural references, but sometimes they seem to hit and sometimes they seem to miss. Do you have any kind of standards as far as when you use pop cultural references, especially if they're dated like that?
I use a ton of them. I try to keep them as non-abstract as possible. Like, the 80s porn reference is actually something I say a lot. Like, basically, just what you were talking about is, if I can't think of anything to say to girls, I'll try to, guess what they do. And I'll be like, "Oh, I guess now you guys know each other. You're totally, naughty nurses together, right?" And then the girls will always be like, they'll laugh and they'll either play along with it or be like, "No." And I'll be like, "Damn it, When I was growing up watching my dad's old 80s porn tapes, there were a lot more naughty nurses. I feel like I was lied to by the 80s porn movies. Which is just kind of just something that I thought of one day when I was at the hospital, and there weren't naughty nurses. The nurses were actually Hispanic homosexual men who were not that fun to talk to.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, with pop culture references, like, you got to kind of calibrate to the girl's age. So, like, if I'm talking to a girl who's, like, 30, like I said, I'm 25, like, I might try to make, like, 90s references or, like, late 80s. Like, Top Gun might be, like, the latest I go back. If I'm talking to a girl who's, like, 19, I'm going to stick to, like, current pop culture references, you know? I'm just going to assume that the only thing she knows is, like, Twilight, the Jonas Brothers, and Miley Cyrus. I will say there are a few things that, you know, are consistent, like Britney, Madonna, you know, what are some other ones? Sublime and Incubus and Nirvana are pretty consistent with any girl, you know, above 18 years old. That's about it, though. I mean, like, the other ones, you just kind of feel them out. I use a ton of pop culture references, though. Like, the funny thing is you can always kind of turn it around if the girl doesn't get it and make it seem like she's not cool and go on a rant about how she's kind of missed out on something. Anchorman's a good one. Like, Anchorman, almost every girl will get. That's a pretty solid one.
Yeah, you know, I think, yeah, it's pretty good advice. Basically, you know, you got to calibrate to how old the girl is. And, you know,
yeah.
Otherwise there's certain things, like you said, there, you know, if you're referencing James Dean, everybody knows him, or even, like, you know, Madonna or Michael Jackson, everybody
knows. Yeah, like, everyone knows Marilyn Monroe, right? Yeah. You know, right now everyone knows Megan Fox, so you got kind of Justin Timberlake. There are certain people who are transcendent and everyone's going to know about, and then there are other people where, like, you throw it out and they're like, who?
Because, I mean, one time I referenced Doogie Howser, and this girl was like, who the fuck is Doogie Howser? And
yeah.
I'm just like, you know, I got to be a little more careful about...
like, the thing is, like, every girl knows who Neil Patrick Harris is at this point because of the Harold and Kumar movies and the fucking the How I Met Your Mother show. So, I mean, like, if you had said NPH, like, she definitely would have gotten it.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, it's one of those tricky things. But, yeah, I think pop culture references are great.
Yeah, I think they're good, too. I think you just gotta be careful because a lot of these opinion openers are like, "Oh, do you think David Bowie's hot?" I mean, a lot of these girls.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like. Yeah, I never really liked those because, like, a lot of girls don't know who David Bowie is. That one was always funny to me because, like, a lot of girls actually don't know who David Bowie is. Like, that's actually kind of an almost archaic reference at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
agree. So, I mean, I always used, like, Steven Tyler or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Or, like, Ray Ramone, like the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond. Like, you can definitely pick someone older, but yeah, I mean, the David Bowie thing, like, David Bowie's kind of, like, I don't even know who that is.
No, I mean, you know, I'm 33, like I said, I think the last time, I was probably a kid when he had his last hit, so yeah, I mean.
Yeah, exactly, like, that's the thing is you gotta kind of, there's like, a little bit of common sense that you have to throw in sometimes, like, where, you know, if something's, like, a good concept, you have to be able to separate the concept from the actual execution. I think there's a lot of lines and stuff like that out there that aren't necessarily relevant now as they might have been before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, you know, yeah, so, you know, just because you understand the reference doesn't mean that, you know, the girl you're going to go.
Exactly.
And, you know, yeah, I think you give good advice here. You just gotta kind of judge the age of the girl, and, you know, and go from there. I got one last question here. This one here, I think it kind of goes hand in hand. I know you got a product called Advanced Strategies of Sexualized Comfort, and I think this kind of goes along that way. Basically, this guy says, can you briefly describe how to do keynote escalation, how to initiate sexual encounter? I know it's kind of broad, but can you kind of just briefly go into some of that stuff?
Sure. I mean, I think, like, how to start touching, you got to start touching from the beginning. The four basic rules of touching are basically touch early, because it's much easier to just be a touchy guy right away than to start trying to touch the girl once you've been talking to her for a while. The other thing is touch more than just the girl you're attracted to. Like, a lot of times guys will just talk to everyone in the group but touch just one person. That looks obvious. Next thing is, the most important thing is you always want to release the touching first. I think that's kind of the key to sexual escalation, is you want to kind of be a tease and kind of start to get the girl a little turned on and then take away the touching, and then start to get her turned on again and take away the touching, because What happens is, what most guys do is they just chase, right? They try to like touch the girl, and then she moves away, and then they grab her again, and they keep grabbing, creep grabbing, and so she either succumbs, right, and she just lets them do whatever, which sometimes happens, but not that often, or until she just like, takes herself out of the situation. So instead, we want to kind of get her to the point where she's almost uncomfortable enough that she's going to move out of the touching, and then we want to take the touching away so that she actually gets more uncomfortable not being touched than she is being touched, which will happen if you are aware of her muscular tension and her overall tension with being touched. As soon as you start to see she's tensing up, you pull it away and actually push her away, reject her, and now she'll actually chase more touching because she's more uncomfortable being rejected than she was with the way the touching was going. The other thing is, and you always have to make a bigger move. Like, after you release the touching, you want to make a bigger move. Too many guys, like, touch the girl's elbow 27 times in the course of a 5-minute conversation and think they're touching a lot. You've got to move the touching towards things that lead to sex. That's a big part of it. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of how to get sexual with a girl, you've got to think, like, there's three different things that are leading to sex, right? There's the verbals, like, you're doing things like statements of intent, telling her she's sexy, telling her that she's giving you dirty thoughts, you know, telling her that there's things you want to do to her, maybe even doing a little bit of dirty talk. Then you have your logistics, right, which means you're leading her physically somewhere where you can take advantage of this. Like, you shouldn't be dirty talking in the girl's ear, you know, on the dance floor, where you can't at all take advantage of it. But if you're, like, walking on the way home, then you can start to dirty talk her in the air. If you're in a cab or, you know, if you're on the road home in a car, then you can start doing that kind of stuff, or back at your place. Then you also have to look at physically, right? You have to move past the kissing to the actual foreplay. So what most guys do is they just kind of plow into the naughty areas, like the boobs and the vagina. Instead, you want to kind of lead with anticipation. You want to kind of go around the fun areas, get as close as possible without actually touching them, and then kind of let things get a little more heated up. The longer you kind of hold out before you start trying to go for the boobs or the vagina, like, the easier it's going to be. Like, if you can take 15 minutes of, like, kissing the girl's neck and, like, her shoulders and ears and, like, her stomach and all around the bad areas without actually going towards them, you won't have much problems with last-minute resistance. But it's just the aspect of heating the girl up to the point where she wants to escalate it. Like, at some point, the physical sensations take over. Like, if you keep getting a girl horny without making a move that she has to say no to, then you're going to have pretty good success with escalation.
Cool, man. Yeah, so I want to thank everybody for asking questions for Sin. I appreciate that. So now you went over all these questions. I think you got, you know, people have a good idea that you got solid advice. Or what kind of resources and products and stuff do you have to help these guys out?
We have a couple of things. We have our Natural Attraction DVD, which is my system for attraction, which is based not on routines but on understanding the mechanisms that cause attraction, being fun, interesting, confident, masculine, and how to do that in a systematic manner. So that's at naturalattractiondvd.com. We also have my Advanced Strategies for Sexualized Comfort, which is basically all of my favorite routines for escalating a conversation sexually, an overview of sexual framing, which is a really misunderstood concept. Like, a lot of guys think they're doing sexual framing and they're, like, making jokes about how they want to fuck a chick in the ass, which is not what it is. And it also is an overview of my Breakthrough Comfort System, which is basically engineered love. It's kind of the way to get out of the friend zone when you're stuck with a girl who you have a lot of comfort with, who actually, you know, will hang out with you, but just, you know, won't escalate in any way. The Breakthrough Comfort System is a really good way to break through that and get sexual relationships started with these girls. So that's kind of our main things. We also have Sin's Inner Circle, which is my monthly interview thing, and the Lay Reports book. So there's quite a few ways that guys can learn from us at Sins of Attraction. Best thing to do would probably be to check out my blog on a regular basis. It's the sinsofattraction.blogspot.com.
Yeah, it's a great blog. And then You also do podcasts on a frequent basis, and they can check them out. I know you post them on your blog
Yeah, they're
there,
posted
too.
on my blog. They're also on iTunes. It's called Sin in the Cities. It comes out once a week, and it's like a half-an-hour podcast with basically 10 minutes on, like, gossip and PUA stuff, and 10 minutes on pop culture, where I just kind of give my thoughts on general pop culture things, and 10 minutes on actual game. I just recorded one, actually, right before we started talking, on Straggler Game, which is actually, maybe your listeners will want to talk about this. Straggler Game is basically where you try to pick off the drunk girls as they're leaving the club at like 2 a.m., or you like gaming them on the streets in front of the club. I'm not a big fan of it. I kind of feel like it's pathetic, but I do think that it's a legitimate way of getting laid, because the opportunities are there, and I think if you did like 50 or 60 of those sets a night, you'd probably end up with something. So I wanted other people's opinion on that. So you can listen to like 10, 15 minutes on Straggler Game and my pros and cons for it on my podcast this week. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, definitely. You put out a lot of good free content for people, and
thanks, man. I
it's really
appreciate it.
solid,
Thanks.
good shit. Definitely recommend it. You know, definitely you had Kick-Ass 2009. You put out a lot of stuff. You've been very active. You're probably, one of the biggest pickup artists out there, if not the number one guy. I mean, what's in the future here, like for 2009? And I know there's only a month left, but what do you got planned for 2010?
I mean, right now we're just running 12 months to mastery. We have a product called the Get Laid More product that's going to be coming out in February or March or so, which is basically everything you need to just get laid more right now, which I think is something that a lot of guys want to do and don't really know how. They don't know what techniques are just going to get them more pussy. So that's coming. We also have a couple of other things for later on in the year that are going to be pretty cool. We'll kind of have some things coming out that are surprising to some people. Other than that, we're just kind of staying the same. Like, I'm not trying to be some, like, we're not trying to be Love Systems. We're not trying to be Michal Method. Like, we're a small company. I like to work personally with, 25, 30 guys, and just actually make sure guys get good as opposed to doing, like, bigger boot camps and stuff. We're going to have some more products, because I think there are certain things that can be done through products which are really good, and having these resources out there would have been really helpful for me when I was learning. But other than that, I think we're basically just staying par for the course. We're pretty happy with what we're doing as a company. I know a lot of other companies have been having, issues and slow years and stuff. We've been really lucky this last year in a bad economy that we've been doing pretty well, and as well as we kind of want to do. We're not... Like I said, we're not like a big corporation. We're more like a boutique. You're probably going to pay a little more when you train with us, but you're going to have kind of top-of-the-line training and a lot more personal attention. And that's kind of what I think my kind of overall message is that, it's better to do things the right way and take a little bit longer than to rely on, like, tricks or gimmicks, which don't work for long-term success.
Yeah, definitely. I think you definitely fit a good niche. You're not like the Walmarts of the seduction community out there.
We're not literally like the, one-stop shop for boot camps where it's like, okay, I just want to go have a fun weekend, learning how to pick up girls and then never think about it again. You will have to actually work kind of hard in our programs, but, the trade-off is that our guys get really good. So if you're really serious about it, I think we definitely have the best program out there.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's cool. Any last-minute smack talk you want to talk or anything like that?
David Wygant sucks. The guy's a bitch. Who else? I just smacked down Alex from RSD, who, like, has been talking. Like, that guy writes, like, he writes these flowery fucking descriptions of, like, things that are retarded. And so he wrote this post about State where one of his suggestions was literally to shoot lime juice into your eye.
Oh, Jesus.
And then, like, it was horrible. So I do these Fighter Joe Morgans on my blog now, where I basically take other people's articles and make fun of them. So I did one of those today. I mean, honestly, like, I'm just trying to... My new thing is I'm just pretending that the seduction community outside of the guys that I like doesn't exist. So, like, when people ask me questions, I'm kind of like, huh, who? Like, they'll even ask me about, like, companies I used to work with, and I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that name. Because I just kind of... I feel like it's better to just stay out of it for the most part, like, I am worried that, like, eventually there's going to be this backlash that's been happening, like, one of us is going to get murdered. I am, like, a little worried about that, I'm not going to lie.
I was going to add, it's funny you bring that up, because one of the questions I forgot I was going to ask you is like a lot of this beef in the seduction community, is this kind of like 50 Cent, hey, I got an album coming out next week, I need some publicity beef, or is this actually seriously like Tupac and Biggie Smalls beef going on here?
Me and David Wygant, I really want to punch him in the face.
Really?
Like, yeah, no, I mean, like, I wanted to fight him for charity, and he didn't want to do it. And he, like, calls that childish. Like, I call it, like, I don't do this, like, let's fucking shit talk. Like, I don't, like, people don't really shit talk me, you know? Like, that's not, I demand my respect, you know? And so, like, I mean, like, I'll get random shit talkers who have never met me, but, like, people who have met me, like, for him to be, like, completely cool with me in my face and then tell me I couldn't make eye contact with him, I'm like, that's cool, I'm going to punch you in the face. We'll see how I make eye contact then. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm kind of done talking about David Wygant. I'm sure I'll run into him in L.A. at some point, and the whole thing will get straightened out, and that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to legally have evidence.
Yeah, I hear you. I've
so,
had my own run.
No comment, and if David Wygant gets mysteriously beat up by a guy in a mask at a Whole Foods, it wasn't me.
No, Whole Foods, awesome.
That's what I have to say. If next week when I'm in Los Angeles, mysteriously David Wygant gets beat up in Whole Foods, it wasn't me and I had an alibi.
Hopefully we can get the camera footage of it.
All you'll see is a ski mask in a blaze of glory running away.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Wygant, because I've had my tie-ins with him. I didn't read your complete article with him, but I did read his comment where he was like, oh, Sin, what kind of name is that? He did the same thing to me. I wrote something kind of bashing him because I thought something he did wasn't very, very good. And he came always like,
I don't think David Wygant is his real name.
I doubt it is, too. And even if it is, I mean, if I was making his kind of money, I mean, I know the guy's making lots of money. If I was making enough money where I could, you know, full-time be doing pickup, you know, I wouldn't be so concerned about using my real name, but, I mean, I got a job on the side. I mean, who uses their real name? I mean, if you go to a message board anywhere, nobody uses their real name. What a dumb excuse that is. I mean.
No, I mean, and like, to make fun of the name thing, like, we all make fun of the name thing. It's like, dude, like, who cares? You're a retard. I don't know. It's kind of like his thoughts thing. It's kind of funny, like, when you see these gurus having beef, like, there's this, like, secret guru beef going on this private message, like, list right now, like, this private email list. And nothing to do with me, but I just don't, like, I don't want to give certain parties who are causing it any more publicity.
Understandable.
It's interesting to watch how the different gurus react, because it tells you a lot about their personalities. Like, ours are, like, flipped out, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's, like, these weird things that are socially awkward that, like, nobody would ever do, like, make up songs where he says people lick balls, right? Like, hypothetically speaking, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, or, like, other guys will, like, react like it's an AMOG battle, and they'll be like, cool, man, like, you're the, like, they'll do, like, AMOG lines, and I'm just like, we all know this shit. Like, it's not... It's always so weird to me. Like, that Erica Awakening weirdo fucking freak chick. Like, she always used to text, like, all these mass text messages with, like, open loops. Like, it's so great to finally have found love, or this, that, or the other. And I'm just like, we all know what you're doing, bitch. Like,
yeah.
We all study the same shit. Like, why don't you just not have a weird reaction?
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you get a lot going, it just seems like these people get so enthralled in this stuff, and then it's like their life, and they get all combative and defensive over this stuff. I mean, for me, it's just, I don't understand how these people get so worked up about this. I mean,
yeah, I don't either, man. I don't really, like, I don't care that much, I guess, I do think it's funny. See, that's the thing that I think people misunderstand about me,
mm-hmm.
is, like, I think a lot of these people think I, like, spend a lot of time sitting around hating these people. Like, when I put my computer away, I don't think about the seduction community anymore, like, ever again.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I'm off the computer and off the sites, like, I just don't discuss it. Like, it's no longer part of my world. It's like, it's like I live a, like, dual life.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think these people, but I do think a lot of the stuff that goes on in the seduction community is hysterically funny. Like, I think it's really funny that a guy like Alex will write an article about how you should shoot lime juice in your eye to get into state, and, like, people on the RSD boards are like, this is brilliant! You are such a great writer! Like, I think that's hysterical.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people misinterpret that, like, I care a lot about this stuff because I make fun of it, as opposed to just, that's my personality, is I make fun of things. Like, I do it all the time, everything.
Yeah.
And so, like,
Like, I think a lot of people think I actually, like, have an overall opinion instead of other than just that, like, some people are retarded and fun to make fun of.
No, I mean,
that's my overall stance.
Yeah, I think the best thing about your site is, like, you do a good job of mixing, like, you know, you write about, like, pop cultural stuff, and then you write about pickup, and you give guys good, solid advice. Then you also throw in a little, you know, gossip and stuff like, you know, like, writing about Alex and stuff like that. So, like, you know, when you write about and stuff like that, it's for your business in some ways, too. I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, sometimes I do have to stir, like, I do have to comment on things because it's business, and sometimes I review stuff because it's business, and I mean, some of the stuff I'm genuinely curious. Like, I'm not one of those guys who's like, I figured out the best way to pick up girls. Like, if someone has something that works better, like, I'm all for testing new stuff because I think we still don't know a whole lot. You know, I think we have a good idea of what a lot of stuff is and what a decent amount of things are, but I think there's still a lot of stuff that's unexplainable and
tapped into that I think is good. So, I mean, I do have a
slight interest in getting better and finding things that work better as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've done a lot in the past couple of years. That, you know, a lot of these guys out there are just marketers, and they're out there trying to capitalize on this industry.
Because they don't actually go out. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I actually do go out.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
At some point, you know, like, I go out 4 or 5 nights a week still. So at some point, you know, you go out that much, you start to see what's up and what's not. And so I think that's like, a big part of it, too, is a lot of these guys, you know, their theories are all 4 and 5 years old and haven't really updated.
No, yeah, they're just regurgitating, you know, the mystery method and trying to capitalize.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Even mystery is regurgitating.
Yeah.
Like, mystery method hasn't really changed that much since I took mystery method, you know, 5 years ago.
Well, the graphics are different in the new ebook, but that's about
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Graphics are different, and there's a different description of how to throw an egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty ridiculous. So, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
But anyway, man, great doing this interview. Thanks.
Yeah,
for
definitely. Let's wrap this up. Of course,
let me know what's up, and I'll send people over to my blog.
Sounds good, man. And then people can go to Sins of Attraction. Wait, yeah, sinsofattraction.blogspot.com to read all your new stuff. So, cool, Sin. Yep. Thanks for doing the interview, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Take it easy.
Yeah, take care.